أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والمرسلات عرفا فالعاصفات عصفا والناشرات نشرا فالفارقات فرقا فالملقيات ذكرا عذرا أو نذرا إنما توعدون لواقع فإذا النجوم طمست وإذا السماء فرجت وإذا الجبال نسفت وإذا الرسل أقتت لأي يوم أجلت ليوم الفصل وما أدراك ما يوم الفصل ويل يومئذ للمكذبين ألم نهلك الأولين ثم نتبعهم الآخرين كذلك نفعل بالمجرمين ويل يومئذ للمكذبين ألم نخلقكم من ماء مهين فجعلناه في قرار مكين إلى قدر معلوم فقدرنا فنعم القادرون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين ألم نجعل الأرض كفاتا أحياء وأمواتا وجعلنا فيها رواسي شامخات وأسقيناكم ماء فراتا ويل يومئذ للمكذبين انطلقوا إلى ما كنتم به تكذبون انطلقوا إلى ظل ذي ثلاث شعب لا ظليل ولا يغني من اللهب إنها ترمي بشرر كالقصر كأنه جمالة صفر ويل يومئذ للمكذبين هذا يوم لا ينطقون ولا يؤذن لهم فيعتذرون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين فإن كان لكم كيد فكيدون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين إن المتقين في ظلال وعيون وفواكه مما يشتهون كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما كنتم تعملون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين وإذا قيل لهم اركعوا لا يركعون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين كلوا وتمتعوا قليلا إنكم مجرمون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين وإذا قيل لهم اركعوا لا يركعون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين فبأي حديث بعده يؤمنون. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'ina wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them all and to bless every single one of us and to grant us goodness. My brothers and beloved sisters who will listen to this at some stage, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about the youth, and he has given importance to the youth and those who assisted him and helped him and those who were with him. The bulk of them were from amongst the youth. So one might ask, who are the youth? There is no specific age to say that you are the youth. But those who are growing and those who are still transforming from the boy to the man, those who have just transformed as well, and those who are still fit and consider themselves young, subhanallah. I know you have old people, mashallah, gray beards in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and they still are young and fit. Remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a beautiful narration, speaks about the people who will be treated like VIPs on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, there are certain people who will be treated like VIPs. And I start with this narration. It's known as Hadith As-Sab'a. Hadith of the seven categories. I only want to talk about one of them. Seven categories of people who will be granted a special shade on the day of judgment, subhanallah. The last time I was in this masjid, I don't remember it being exactly as it is now, which means it has been renovated, I think. Subhanallah. So, we have a shade right here. We have air condition right here. When I was coming, I thought to myself, today is going to be a tough day. The reason is, my throat is very, very sore. It's difficult for me to speak right now. But inshallah, for the sake of Allah, we will do anything. And the heat and humidity is a little bit more than the previous days. And I thought, we are going into a masjid, perhaps we will begin to sweat. And perhaps it will be a little bit tough. And I said, alhamdulillah, at least I will get a bigger reward for a greater sacrifice. But when I came in here, I'm noticing there is air condition, mashallah. I'm noticing it's different from what it was the last time, subhanallah. And in a way, I'm happy because the intention is what mattered, isn't it? But Allah gave us a bonus and He gave us a blessing to say, hang on, we will show you something that will make you smile. Everyone loves shade. Everyone loves a cool temperature. Everyone likes not to sweat. And so on, unless you're in a sauna. But at the same time, on the day of judgment, there will be intense heat. Very intense. And the sun will be very, very close. And people will be sweating. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pick out certain people. And He will tell them, come. Come to a special place I've kept for you. Subhanallah. When I spoke about this once in the UK, there was a young boy who told me, I know how it feels, because I had VIP tickets to the football match. I had VIP tickets to the football match. Subhanallah. So he's comparing his football match with the Day of Judgment, where
He went and he was given VIP treatment. I said, look, it's okay, it's fine if that's what you think, but the day of judgment is far more serious. And there are no balls to kick on that day. The reality is, it is a serious matter. And if you are feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept such a cool place, but who is it for? I want to be from among them. You can. You can. You try, and Allah will give it to you. So one of the categories, there are seven. Seven of the categories. One of them is, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. A young male or female, shab. Young male or female, who grows up in the obedience of Allah. From the early ages, as they grow up into their teens, and just post-teen, they protect themselves. In those years, they are worshipping Allah. In those years, when the energies are bubbling, bursting, you feel big, you feel like you can punch the whole world, and you are stronger than Mike Tyson. You feel very powerful. You feel like you can bring down these pillars. Hang on, we all felt the same. Take it easy. Try and punch the pillar, your hand will go, my brother. Calm down. If you calmed down in those years, and you control your temper, your anger, the changes in your moods and the changes in your body and everything that is confusing you, and you calm down, you control yourself, the interest that you have in the opposite sex, it must remain, definitely, but it must be controlled. It must be nurtured. Islam did not say don't be interested in the opposite sex. Be very interested in the opposite sex. That's what Islam says. But learn how to control. Learn to respect the opposite sex. That's what it is. It is all about respect. When you see a female, you're a young man, you're a Muslim. Or when you see a male, you're a young female, you're a Muslimah. What do? You offer them utmost respect. You do not look at them as a sex tool or a person to be used and abused. I promise you, I will marry you. And then you commit adultery and fornication, and after a while, I'm sorry, I cannot marry you. That's how the world works today. But a Muslim does not work that way. You don't abuse. That is someone's daughter, someone's sister. It is someone's relative. You don't do that to a person. No matter who it is, even if you believe it's mutual, be careful. Some people say, no, but it was two of us. Two of us? You are the man. You're supposed to have been away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So, Islam tells you that you cannot deny and defy nature, but you need to know how to nurture, and you need to know how to control, and you need to know what is expected of you. I love the BMW outside, for example, or the Lexus, or the Toyota, or whatever other vehicle is outside. I love it. I can't just go and have it. I can't just go inside, start driving, go to Gold Road and enjoy myself round once, twice, park at the mall and decide, you know what, I enjoyed the car. Now leave it there and carry on. That's not how it works. So, a female is far more valuable than that car that you see outside. You cannot just take her, go out with her, do what you want with her, go around Gold Road with her exactly, take her to this place, that place, and then leave her and salam alaikum, gone. Some without even salam, they will go. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So we need to know that in Islam, there is something known as respect. And I love to tell the young people, and even the slightly older, learn to respect the opposite sex. Respect. When you see someone, the world teaches you to look at them as a sexualized object. That's what the world teaches you today. Everything is about sex. Astaghfirullah. Be careful. That is something we need to talk about. You are a Muslim. You are going to return to Allah. Control yourself. There will be a nur when you control yourself upon your face, upon your hands, in your actions, there will be barakah, blessings, light. Subhanallah. Because you control yourself. That's why. It's about control. You cannot do what you want. You cannot walk into someone else's house. You cannot take someone else's property. The same applies to people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. So, this is why that person who manages to control himself, he deserves a special shade on the day of judgment. He is a VIP because he did it for the sake of Allah, meaning he really believed in Allah and the last day. He believed in it. Allah says, you know, you believed in the last day. Well, today is the last day. Come, I want to show you that your belief was actually valid and correct. Today you're a VIP. Come. So, there is an effort required, you know, to grow up. When you are lazy, you want to sleep. There comes a stage in your life when you're at home and you're sleeping and you don't want to get up. It happens. I'm tired. I worked whole week. I worked whole day. How can I read Salatul Isha? I want to sleep, man. I will eat and sleep. Is that what life is all about? Well, if you get to the day of judgment, you never thought about it. So you might lose out on that day. You might lose out on that day. So what you need to do is, you need to prepare yourself to say, no, I know I'm tired, I've had a full day, I will eat, fulfill my salah, and sleep. Simple as that. 5 more minutes. How many more? 5. 10 maybe, if you need to do wudu. Then, Salatul Fajr. To get up is not easy, but the one whom at this age, his concern is salah. That person's concern is prayer. And to make sure he or she does not miss the 5 daily prayers. That particular person deserves a medal. They deserve a medal. You see a young boy, and he is there for salah all the time. Doesn't he deserve a medal? Allah will give you that medal, my brother, my sister. Allah will give it to you. Don't worry, he's watching, he knows. Shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillahi ta'ala. The youth, a young person who grows up in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A young person who grows up in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, someone might think, you know what, I'm already slightly older and it's going to be really tough for me to actually go back on the mistakes that I've made. So what do I do? Am I right? Sometimes you have a young man, he's 19, 20, 30, 40, 50, anything. And he says, I know what you're talking about, but guess what? It's too late. Too late meaning, I already did some things. I already had certain issues. I've already missed my salah. I'm already grown a little bit older. So what do I do? In your case, my beloved brother or sister, there is something known as tawbah, which is the gift of a believer. Tawbah means to repent to Allah. It's the gift of the believer. Allah says, you made a mistake, you did something wrong, you want to wipe it out? I show you how to wipe it out. Wipe it out by admitting it to yourself, that look, I did do something wrong. It was wrong. By regretting it to say, I wish I hadn't done it. By saying, oh Allah, forgive me for it. That's the third thing. And by saying, oh Allah, I won't do it again. If you have those 4 conditions, Allah says, you know what? We wipe it out. It's gone. You don't need to worry. So, never lose hope in the mercy of the Almighty. You may not have such a high VIP status on that day of judgment, but you'll save yourself from a lot of harm. You know, there are 3 types of people in a classroom. Those who win a prize. Those who did not win a prize, but they passed. And those who failed. So, if I won a prize, alhamdulillah. If I didn't win a prize, but I passed, still alhamdulillah. But if I failed, yarhamukallah. May Allah have mercy on you. My brothers and sisters, this is what we need to realize. That Allah is so merciful, He waits for us. And He says in these years that you are growing up, control yourself. It's all about control. You get angry, you get upset. control yourself. You are not the only person on earth. There are others. You need to fulfill their rights. Remember this. When you see other people, think about yourself and to yourself, how am I going to help them? That's what a young man should be thinking, and a young woman. When you are growing, you're young, and you're actually in your teen age, ask yourself, these people around here, how am I going to help them? I'm not talking of only the Muslims. Start with your family members. How am I going to make life easy for them? There has to come a stage in your life as a teenage, when you are a teenager, when you are growing slightly older, that you start feeling that your family sometimes is a burden, or they are blocking you from doing what you really want to do in life. It will happen. Most people, that happens to them. You are a young person. You're growing up. Your father tells you, listen son, I want you to be here at 8 o'clock. You start thinking, who is he? He is your father. I can give you the answer here. He is your father. Who is he? Who are you to tell me? You tell your mother. She is your mother. She gave birth to you. Subhanallah. Be here at 8 o'clock. Okay, inshallah, I will. Or sit down and bargain. There's no problem. Dad, what about 10 o'clock? He says, no, no, 9 o'clock. Okay, I gained 1 hour just by one sentence. Subhanallah. I used my mind. You understand? I applied it. I engaged in discussion. That's what I did. And no love was lost, but I gained 1 whole hour. And if you wanted 2 hours, try 12 o'clock. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So you need to speak. These are your parents, that's your brother, your elder brother, or even if they're not elder, your younger brother. There is a problem in a lot of homes, this sibling rivalry, where your brother, your sister, you just fight with them, whole day, for nothing. From a young age, we are fighting. Fighting about what? About this, I poke you and you poke me back, and then it goes to this, and then I slap you and you slap me back, and then I call you this and you call me that, and then I do this and you do that. Yes, it might happen to a certain extent, don't let it go beyond a point. It must not lead you to hatred. Be careful. These brothers and sisters of yours are an amana. They might leave before you know it. They might die before you know it. And the last thing you did was poke them, and then they died. What happened? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never let that happen to us. A person comes with a date and a time of expiry from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that. And Allah says, إِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ إِذَا جَاءَ لَا يُؤَخَّرُ. When the fixed time of Allah comes, it will not be delayed. Won't be delayed. So you don't know the tag. They might just have a few more days to live and you are being nasty. Don't be nasty. You're a young man. Be helpful. Understand. Make a good relationship. Seek forgiveness. Talk to others. Be polite. Your character needs to show in that time, during those years, your character needs to develop, because the iron is hot, the concrete is wet, it can still be molded. Whatever mold you put on it while it is wet, that is the mold that will last, and that is the mold that you will be known for. So put a good mold, something decent. When you want to make a design somewhere, you put on the cement, and while it is wet, you make your design. You don't wait for it to dry and then try and chip it out of there. It's going to be more difficult. You have a mold. So when you are young and you are growing, the mold is still, you know, very easy to put, because it's soft, it's wet, or it's still hot. You can do something. So nurture yourself. Learn to listen to other people as a young man. A young woman. Listen, they have already passed through that age. They have already passed through that age. And don't get yourself in such a knot that you can't come out. You need to think before you do something. Don't do it and then think. Because when you're a teenager, many people do something, then they think, hey, I shouldn't have done that. My brother, you put the cart before the donkey. It's the donkey that comes before the cart. So what you need to do is think before you do something. They always say, think before you ink, right? Think before you do something. For a moment, Allah gave you a brain. But sometimes the teenagers, you grow, and even some adults, we are so active that we just want to say, no ways, let me do something. You do it, oh, what did I do? Well, you knew it, isn't it? But you didn't use your brain. That's what it was. Then when you've made a mistake, seek help. Firstly, the help of Allah. Ask Allah's forgiveness. I made a mistake. Quickly come back. You know, when you are going on a path and you want to go from here, I've given this example before. You want to go from Colombo to Kandy. There is a road. For some reason, it's night time and your GPS is not working. And you are going in the wrong direction. You are heading in the wrong direction. So, as soon as you find out that you are going in the wrong direction, if you turn, there is a greater chance that you will arrive at your destination because you turned. But if you did not turn, what will happen? You go deeper and deeper into the wrong road. Until your fuel is finished. Until your fuel is finished and your car is stuck. And then you say, I think I'm very near to Kandy. And someone tells you, actually you are further away than you were when you were in Colombo. And you say, what? And then they tell you, you were actually coming in the wrong direction altogether. Oh, I see. Too late now. Now, well, maybe not too late, but it's going to be very difficult to push your vehicle to the nearest station to fill fuel or to catch a lift and to go to fill a little jerry can with fuel and to come back and to put it in your car and then to turn around. You've wasted double, triple fuel, and on top of that, you wasted your time, and also someone might have stolen your vehicle while you went to go and fill the petrol. Can happen. Or someone might have damaged it. The same applies in our lives. When you know you're on the wrong path, if you know you have the wrong company, people who are on drugs, they are your friends. People who don't fulfill salah, they are your friends. People who swear and they lie, they are your friends. People who drink alcohol, they are your friends. You know, drunkards, intoxicants, everything of that nature. People who look at everyone and they say, this man is a kafir, this man is worth killing, this man is worth hitting, this man is worth like this. That woman is a prostitute. This woman is like... People who have bad words, bad ideas, bad thoughts. If they are your company, trust me, you are going in the wrong direction. The quicker you stop your vehicle and turn around, the sooner you will get to Kandy. Stop. Turn around. Change your company. Move back. Your fuel has dirt in it. You need to get your unleaded fuel and use it in your vehicle. Your mind is contaminated because of the people who you mix with. If you want to help yourself, change the company. Your mind will start working properly. Be careful of the internet. Why? It's a gift of Allah. Yes, it's a very big gift. You can learn, you can do so much. But trust me, there is a lot of evil there as well. You know, when a person wants to follow their whims and fancies and desires, and you see a nightclub, and you walk past, and you know, you are wearing clothing that you just came from the masjid, subhanallah, you might have your headgear on, and you walk past the nightclub. Even if the shaitan tells you, just go in, you say, no, no, man, look, I'm wearing my headgear, look at how I'm looking, how can I walk in? And you know, someone will see me. Right or wrong? Someone will see me. So, it keeps you away. It keeps you away because Allah created within you a thought that someone might see you. Without you thinking that Allah is watching you. But still, you did not go. Because you were worried, someone was seeing you. The problem with the internet is, people think, no one is seeing me. The internet also has a nightclub. It also has a brothel. It also has wrong things. And the people use their phones. They are hooked onto pornography. The amount of pornography that is contaminating the hearts and minds and souls and spirits of the people is alarming. It is shocking. Sometimes old people, sometimes religious, they will not miss a salah. But at night they close the blanket and they are with their phone watching porn. But they did not miss salah. Something is wrong with your salah. There is something wrong. Don't do that, because that contaminates your mind, your soul, your spirit, your heart, your system, your understanding. It is more dangerous than anything you can think of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. We need to turn. You need to stop it quickly, because your car is going towards something very bad. Your car is going towards the cliff and you're going to drop off. You're going to actually fall off that cliff. Be careful. Stop. turn your car around and start heading towards the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no virtue in traveling for Umrah if your intention is wrong. Remember that. A lot of people, they just travel because it's easy for them. They want to go have a holiday. They will come back. I went for Umrah. But did your life change? You went for Hajj. You went for Umrah. Did your life change at all? Did you go there with the intention of shedding your sins? If that was the case, you went with a good intention. But if you went there without the intention of shedding your sins, then someone did not teach you why you were going there. Or you ignored it. When I go for Umrah, the intention is to achieve the forgiveness of Allah, not to enjoy al-bayk from across the road, if you know what I'm talking about. That might be a bonus. That might be a bonus. But that wasn't the main intention. The intention is, oh Allah, forgive me. So, there is so much happening on the internet, it would be wrong for me to speak to young people and about guiding them how to develop themselves without mentioning the internet. And I did not say the internet is bad. Didn't I say it's a gift of Allah? There is so much of goodness. You can learn. You can learn Quran. I know of websites that will help you to revert to Islam, and they will teach you more than what the average Muslim knows. Subhanallah. So my beloved brothers and sisters, you need to know that Allah loves you. He cares for you. So during your stay in this world, short stay, few years, 70 years, your stay in this world, Allah will send you one reminder and another one and a third one and a fourth one to remind you that this world is just a test. It's a test for you. Allah is watching. What will you do? لِيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ In order to see how you are doing things. What are you doing? I gave you the freedom to do things. Now I want to see what you are doing. That's it. In this beautiful school known as the world, you will either get a prize, or you will pass, or you will fail. Which category would you like to fall into? And the beauty of this world is that, you know, in a normal examination, once you write your answer, to change it is a problem. Or you handed in your paper, to change it is a problem. In Islam, and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for as long as you are alive, you can delete it and put the right answer. So don't think that now it's too late. That's a lot of youth become astray further because they think it's too late. That's it. I did something very bad. Allah will not forgive me. Allah will forgive you no matter what you did. Allah will forgive you no matter what you have done. Remember that. So turn to Allah. I was saying that one of the gifts of Allah is tawbah. You turn back to Allah. Oh Allah, forgive me. I did wrong. When I grew up, I made so many mistakes. I committed this sin, that sin. I did this in a wrong way. I used to miss my salah. I was not interested in this. Oh Allah, forgive me. Help me. I want to change my ways and habits. It's not too late. Still, Allah might decide to give you a VIP status. Because when I started, I said there is a hadith known as Hadith As-Sab'ah. What is the meaning of Sab'ah? Seven. We only spoke of one. So if you make tawbah and you cry for the sake of Allah, you fall into another category. Also a VIP. Why? Because I came but a little bit later. But I also joined the train. Subhanallah. You know, some people, they did not go to school. So they don't know how to read and write. When they turn 45, 50, then they go to school. For some reason, maybe the schools were not available. And sometimes you hear of people graduating from high school at the age of 60. What happened? Well, they got it at 60. They still have. Sometimes their results are better than those who got results at the age of 18. Do you agree? Their results are better. They worked harder. They know. Same applies. Maybe you turned to Allah when you were young. Yes, you are a VIP. But if a man turns to Allah even when he is old, maybe Allah might love the way he quit his whole life that was wrong. For the sake of Allah, that Allah says, hang on. I want to put you into another category of VVIPs. Can happen. Subhanallah. So don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. No matter what. Allah loves you. He did not create you to punish you. No. Allah did not create you so that He can punish you. No. Allah created you to test you. To see. Sometimes we deserve punishment ourselves due to the actions of our own hands. If a man takes a knife and chops his hand off. People are doing it, you know, with all due respect. People are doing silly things today. They take a drill and they start drilling parts of their, you know, bodies to put a little chain or something here and there. Their knees, they have a chain stuck inside. They have pierced their elbows, pierced their private parts. They pierce everything. They pierce whatever they can think of piercing. Well, if they did it, one day what happens is, if they regret it, you know what, maybe Allah can accept your tawbah. He will accept it. Like I said, Allah will forgive you for anything. But you will have to live with all those holes. You will have to live without an organ, for example. You might have to live with a disease and a sickness as a result. Forgiveness is one thing, but you messed up your body is another thing. That we might not be able to help you with it. Because you did it with your own hands. So like I was saying, sometimes you do things that are damaging against yourself with your own hands. I give you one simple example, something that I've never understood. Up to today, I don't understand it. You know, we have people who put henna. You know what is henna? They put henna and it comes out orange on their hands and it comes out brown. Sometimes you have one that is slightly darker, one that is lighter and so on. MashaAllah. I'm not saying that is wrong, subhanallah. In fact, for the women, it is a sunnah, meaning it is taught, even in Islam, applying it in a specific way with specific conditions, etc. It's good, it's nice. But, there are some people who go for permanent tattooing. My beloved youth, don't ever do that. No matter what you are writing, the body does not belong to you. It belongs to Allah. When you are growing up, it's the trend. This one has a tattoo, that one has a tattoo, that one has a tattoo. So you monkey see, monkey do. So what happens is, you start jumping from one tree to another. They tattooed, you tattooed. They jumped, you jumped. They drank, you drank. They committed adultery, you committed adultery. They went to the club, you went to the club. That's it. Be a leader. Don't do that. Think for yourself. I know a young man. I'm going to give you two or three examples. Real life. Young man, he came to me, he said, I have a very big problem. I said, what? He said, you know, I tattooed my girlfriend's name on my back. Permanent tattoo. I said, well, you made a very big mistake. Ask Allah's forgiveness, He will forgive you. Can you reverse it? He said, it is very painful, very difficult, very expensive to reverse it, and that also, there is no guarantee. Whoa. Meaning you put permanent. He said, yes, very permanent. So, I said, so now what's the problem? He said, I broke up with her, I want to marry someone else. I told him, you mean the tattoo was more permanent than the relationship? He said, yes. I said, what made you do it? He said, wallahi, I was so in love. I saw her, I said, I love you, and I tattooed her name. Okay, that's one example. Okay, you saw how bad it is? You broke up. You are marrying someone else, your wife's name is Fatima, every day she sees Khadija on your back. I mean, what type of life is that? Astaghfirullah. So, after that, another example. A man accepted Islam. And he told me, I have a very big problem. Also a problem. Worded slightly differently, but I'm changing the wording for you to understand. He says, I have permanent tattoos of religious symbols on my body in many places. I said, my brother, he says, what do I need to do? Then I asked the same questions. Can you remove it? What type of a tattoo is it? And all the answers are more or less negative. You can, but it's very expensive, very difficult, and no guarantee. And it can cause disease and problem also. So, will Allah forgive me? The answer is yes, Allah will forgive you, but you have to live with this now for the rest of your life. People, when they look at you in the masjid, Allahu Akbar, and you have Bhagwan on your back, astaghfirullah, or you have it somewhere on your hand, or you have, you know what, you did it fair enough, but you didn't think that I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this. Or you have a cross, or whatever else. I shouldn't be doing this. Even if it is an Islamic symbol, you should not be doing it. Understand that. I really believe in Islam. I want to tattoo a verse of the Quran onto me. Haram. Not permissible. You're not allowed to do that. I want to tattoo the name of Allah or His Rasul. Haram. You're not allowed to do that. Why? This body is an amana. It doesn't actually belong to you. Your soul will be separated from the body. You will carry on into the world of the unseen. And you know what? Your body is going to be in the grave and it's gone. Something else in the case of the bulk of us, that body will actually be decomposed in a short space of time. That's it. So don't make that mistake. You're growing up. You need to understand. Don't do permanent tattoos at all. Like I said, it's something I've never understood. Why people do it? Everyone does it, we do it. And if you have done it, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah will forgive you, but you will have to live with it. So you have to answer a question. People say, you know what? I have this tattoo. People will ask you, why do you have this tattoo? Are you a Muslim? Are you sure you're a Muslim? What's your name? Your name can be Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah ibn Fulan ibn Fulan. But if you have that tattoo, they will still ask you, are you Muslim? You can tell them, I'm more Muslim than you are. But there is a problem. You asked it. Meaning you asked for it yourself. For them to keep on asking you, are you Muslim? Are you sure? Imagine when you're entering the door of a masjid for every time for salah. And the man looks at you and says, are you sure? He says, yes, I'm sure. We are fortunate that when we enter the masajid, nobody asks questions. You know, even if there are non-Muslims who have entered to listen, no harm. No harm. We wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَبْلِغْهُ مَأْمَنَهُ. Even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the mushrikeen, if any one of them wanted to listen to the word of Allah, what's going on in the masjid, etc., etc., wallahi, there were groups of people who came into the masjid sitting in one place respectfully in order to listen to what was being said. And a lot of them accepted Islam. I know of some masajid today, some parts of the world, they have a special section for people who are not Muslim to come in and to listen to the Jumu'ah. You come and listen, see what we're doing. And they will tell you, we've never heard this type of preaching in our lives. Never heard it. So they have us, they will tell them, you need to dress respectfully, wash properly, you know, bathe yourself, dress respectfully, sit in a specific... Some masjids have it somewhere across the globe. You know, in the Western world today, a lot of the people don't have an idea what's going on in the masajid. They think that we only teach people how to shoot and how to kill. And that's it. You come into the masjid, the imam says, da 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 da. No, that's not what happens. That's not what happens at all. It's never happened. Look how we're laughing as soon as I said this. Because you know, but if they're thinking that way and the media is telling them that, then what a lot of the masajid did for a solution, no problem, we invite you to come. Whenever you want to come, walk in without permission. And you sit in a specific place and watch what goes on. Subhanallah, they started accepting Islam. Now we have a new problem, according to the people. They have a problem because they tried to divert people away from Islam by lying about Islam. And now the people, because of that lie, have become more inquisitive about Islam. And they are starting to say, the Muslims are actually such wonderful people. Subhanallah. They have purity of belief to begin with. Subhanallah. So the point being raised here, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, is let us be responsible. That's what it is. Be responsible. Learn as you are growing older. Learn to reach out to everyone. You know, we're talking about building bridges. We're actually talking about building bridges. My beloved youth, as you're growing older, learn to solve problems, not to create them. Resolve a matter. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. Remember this. Whenever there is a problem in your home, you as a young person, think of a solution. Don't be a part of the problem. Sometimes you are making life difficult for someone. Change that. Allah will create ease for you. Change that. Allah will create ease for you. When you see enemies of Islam, people who hate Islam, people who want to harm Islam, you as a young man, young woman, how should you look at it? You don't look at it by countering hate with hate. It does not help. The first thing you do is you pray for them. A beautiful prayer. Oh Allah, this person has done so much damage against Islam. Guide them to Islam. Soften their hearts. Soften their hearts. How? You might ask me, where did you get that from? How can you just talk from your pocket? I'm not talking from my pocket. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua for Abu Jahl. You know who is Abu Jahl? The father of ignorance. His name was Amr ibn Hisham. He was one of the leaders of Quraysh at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He hated and detested the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Islam and the Muslims. And Allah says deep down he knew that it was right. He knew. But he was arrogant. He didn't want to lose his power, his political clout. He didn't want to lose that. His authority, his money, his status. So he used to fight the Prophet. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He says, oh Allah, guide him to Islam. I give you another example. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Umar, the great Khalif of Islam. He was similar to Abu Jahl. Not as bad, but he was bad. He went out to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day. And the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just prior to that was, oh Allah, guide him to Islam. And guess what? He was guided to Islam. That was the enemy. So when you're young and you see people hating on Islam, don't hate back. Make a dua for them. Because if you hate back, you might make the problem worse. Yes, if there is oppression, you might want to help by stopping it as best as you can. You know, when you see, for example, a man committing a crime, you stop it. You don't just say, Oh Allah, I'm standing here in front of this man and I can see he's having a bad intention with this woman and he's already starting to, you know, do this to her and that to her. But oh Allah, guide him. Salam. My brother, get up and stop him. Move him out of the place. Tell him, hey, don't you dare touch this woman again. Yes, you're a young man. You need to be alert. There is a robbery happening. Stop it. A young boy in your community. Young boy. Small boy. He might be here. I might want to tell him to stand up, but I don't see him actually. In his own way, he saw a young girl who he knew from the neighborhood jumping into a trishaw. What they call here a tuk-tuk. Right? And the guy started going. He started going with this young girl. Little girl. A small boy. How old is he? 5 years old. He ran into that trishaw. He jumped on. He pulled this girl out and he took her. And he went back with her to the house. Why? Imagine if he just said, oh Allah, help this girl. Done. Because that was nature. By nature, you know that you need to help directly, immediately. So as youth, get up and serve community, society for the sake of Allah. Help protect society and community from crime. And don't be a criminal yourself. Join these groups, neighborhood watch, whatever else it is called. Join the groups. And it does not necessarily have to be just Muslims. No, Muslims, non-Muslims, whoever is in your neighborhood. They are human beings and they are part of your neighborhood. That is what is relevant. You go out and I'm taking, for example, in my own community, they have a neighborhood watch in a lot of the neighborhoods. And the Muslims take part in it. And who do they protect? Everyone who's there. It's Muslim home, non-Muslim home, it becomes irrelevant. You have to go out and do your job as a member of the community. Serve the community. You are a part of it. Because a day when you are also harmed, whoever is on duty that day, they will also come to your assistance. And even people who are not on duty, they will come. They will not say, hey, you know what, this man, I'm leaving him because I had this with him and that. No, they will come and help. So you need to make sure that you have participation in community matters and affairs. Participate in a positive way. You are a young man. Participate. Attend. Go and help. Become part of the burial committee. Become part of a committee that visits the sick and ill. and makes them feel that they are a part of the community. Become a part of it. Go and reach out to the poor. Start collecting things and hampers and go out to feed those who are perhaps destitute, homeless. Go and try and reach out to them. You're a young man. Think of all these things. Join somewhere. Don't just sit at home on your phone like what they are doing today. Don't just sit on the computer. No. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. We have become cabbages because of technology sometimes. Cabbage. Cabbage meaning you're doing nothing. Zero. There is a problem. You are part of the solution. You can be. But they ask you to help and you say, no, just Google and find out what to do. Google and find out what to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So my beloved brothers and sisters, as you can see, we have a role to play in society, in community. I was speaking about the non-Muslims and the fact that we need to reach out to them. They need to know what's going on. You need to know your faith in order to be able to practice it so that others can see it and they can learn about the faith. Subhanallah. You don't look at an enemy. I was giving you another example. You don't look at an enemy and think to yourself, oh Allah, destroy this man first thing. That's not even the sunnah. That's not even the sunnah. Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu is another powerful example. He participated in the battles against the Muslims, resulting in the killing of so many Muslims. Who was the commander in a lot of cases, or one of the military commanders? A young man, powerful, extremely intelligent, very, very, you know, genius. Khalid ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, radiyallahu anhu. That was his name. Khalid ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. Guess what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did? Kept on making dua. Oh Allah, we need this man. Imagine. Oh Allah, we need this man. Come battle of Uhud. You know what damage happened that battle? Khalid ibn al-Walid. He was the culprit. He was the culprit. He was on the wrong side on that day. And he was the one who decided to come around where the archers had just come down. And they inflicted a lot of damage and death upon the Muslims on the day of Uhud. Khalid ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Allah, bring him along. We need him. And his brother, Al-Walid ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, became a Muslim prior to him in Medina. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the brother and says, where's your brother? Where is your brother? You know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He says, مَا مِثْلُ خَالِدٍ يَجْهَلُ الْإِسْلَامَ. A man as intelligent as Khalid cannot be ignorant of the fact that Islam is correct. He can't be ignorant. He's not stupid. He's an intelligent man. He knows. He has to know. If he is so sharp and so intelligent, he can weigh all the religions on the earth and he will come to the conclusion that this is the faith. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. مَا مِثْلُ خَالِدٍ يَجْهَلُ الْإِسْلَامِ. You know what? يَأْتِي بِهِ اللَّهُ. Allah will bring him. And some days later, Khalid ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira arrives with 2-3 people, Medina Munawwara, telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want to enter into the fold of Islam. But I have a problem. The problem is, you know, the damage I've done against the Muslims. What's going to happen to me? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ يَجُبُّ مَا قَبْلَهُ. When you enter the fold of Islam, everything evil and bad you've done is deleted. It's deleted, wiped out, gone. Subhanallah. Now do you know that when you see non-Muslims and so many people here doing things and saying things, first point of stopping is make a dua for them. Make a dua for them. I'm talking here of guidance. I'm not talking of oppression you see in front of your eyes and you need to run to help. You know, there is a fire and you say, oh Allah, help extinguish it. No, you also help. Make a dua while you are helping. Oh Allah, help me to help. That's how you do it. You know, you see the floods, you see people drowning. Dive in. Make sure you know how to swim. Sorry, by the way. But you go straight in and help the people. Think of it. out the people, no matter who they are. Even the animals, you need to help. You need to assist. There might be cows, there might be dogs, there might be donkeys, there might be monkeys, there might be anything else. You try, first you help the human beings. First you help the human beings, prioritize. And then you go and assist in saving the animals as well. Subhanallah, that's Islam. That's what Islam teaches you. Islam says you have to care for the animals. You have to. You must. It is your duty. The life was given to those animals by Allah. But prioritize, a human being comes before the animal. I remember I went somewhere and I had some change. I bought something from a shop. And I wanted to put the money somewhere because I didn't want to carry coins. It was an airport. And when you carry coins, sometimes, you know, beep, beep, it beeps and so on. I said, you know what, put these coins. So I wanted to put the coins into a little charity box, no matter where, the charity cancer or something good, anything, anything. And so I asked the lady behind the counter, is there any, and there were quite a few coins, any box I can put in charity? She says, there's SPCA. So SPCA refers to Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, okay? So I was about to put these coins in, and she says, hang on, hang on. I'm the only dog around here. Meaning, in her own language, and I did not agree with how she said it, but she's trying to say, you know what, rather than putting it there, give it to me, I'm more in need than the dogs, you see. And I'll never forget this. So, it was amazing, and I actually ended up giving her, because she asked for it, and to me, it's true what she said, that I'm more important than the dog. But I was about to put it for the dogs, so what, you know? Some people say, how can you throw your money for the dogs? No, are we not taught to be compassionate towards them? But we are taught that human beings come first. You know, if you see a man and a donkey, both of them drowning, first you save the man, you know? Don't go like the other one who saved the donkey, say, no, why were you saving the donkey first? Because after that the man could ride the donkey. Relax, you know, the man is gone now, you only save the donkey. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. My beloved brothers and sisters, really, when we talk about the youth and nurturing, so many points of guidance come about. But I've just mentioned a few, and I've spoken about how important it is to correct our attitude, to correct our company, to serve society and community, to be able to use the internet in a proper way, not to abuse your bodies and not to do things that perhaps might be trending in society and community, yet we know that this is something bad, this is something unacceptable. We must be able to help ourselves. So I hope and I pray we can promise. I hope and I pray that we can promise that we will serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a better way. By serving our communities, by helping our nation, by serving those who are struggling across the globe in whatever way we can. Whatever beautiful way you can help, help. Help and assist. We are saying that. Because a true young man or woman, true to their deen, they will feel for others. They will feel for others. Someone is suffering somewhere across the globe. You feel for them. You pray for them. You reach out to them. You help them. You assist them. You send some, perhaps, something humanitarian for them. You look into what they need and you try. You might not be a wealthy person, but every single rupiah counts. Every single rupee counts. Don't underestimate the value of your 50 cents. It is very valuable. Put it in the box. Allah will help you. It's the thought that counted. It is a responsibility. Those who have children, you take your little children and help them, teach them to donate even 1 rupee. Teach them to donate it. Why? They will get used to that donation. They will get used to giving. Give them a rupee. I know in one country they collect money, a Jum'ah, every Jum'ah. Because you know some of the countries, they, in fact, everywhere, we have expenses to pay for the upkeep of the masjid. People come for salah, no one pays. No one pays. Besides a handful. But in some places, like in some countries of Europe and so on, even in Africa in some places, they will actually move around on a Friday with a little tin or some packet or some, you know, something from saf to saf in order to collect. Because they need money to run the masjid. Give. When you go to the masjid on a Friday, give your children $1, 1 rupee, What is this for? This is to put it, when they come around for collection, put it in. Say Bismillah and put it in. Because we use the masjid. Teach them from that age. The best place you could give your money to is the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who is struggling, or the house of Allah. You go for salah. How much did you pay? Zero. Imagine if you had to pay 1 rupee for every salah. Guess what would happen? People would stop coming to the masjid. Astaghfirullah. No, I think, let me be more correct. People would actually have to give a large sum of money. 5 rupees a day. They'll start quickly calculating. 5 rupees a day, 30 days, 3 by 5, 15, multiplied by 12 months. How much am I going to give in the year? My brother, no problem. Take a lump sum and give it. It's the right course. Your money will never be wasted. It's gone. For electricity, for water, for upkeep, for salaries, for whatever else it is. And it's the good cause. So, teach them to give. You know, tell them, put it there. You might have 1 or 2 children, you know, you give them the rupee, and when you tell them to put it, and then after the Jum'ah, you ask them what happened, and you see they have an ice cream in one hand, and they'll tell you, I put it. May Allah, it can happen. But you teach them again. You teach them again. SubhanAllah. Say, no, I know you bought an ice cream with that, but it's okay, next week you put it, I give you for ice cream and for that. I hope you don't see them with 2 ice creams. Anyway, my beloved brothers, I've really enjoyed myself here speaking to you, because the lively crowd here, and mashallah, I forgot that my throat was sore and how I was feeling. But inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really allow us to meet again and again in His obedience. And I hope the words I've said have helped. If I have said anything that is wrong, forgive me, correct me, and consider it coming from me and from shaitan. But if I have said that which is correct and valid, please take heed and let it be a lesson for you. And please try and improve yourselves for the sake of Allah. And I will do the same, inshaAllah. May Allah make it easy for myself and yourselves. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.